the official home of the Dodgers in the World Series. KLAC Los Angeles. KYSR HD2 Los Angeles. Streaming games everywhere live on the iHeartRadio app.
AM 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, back at it again. Early for you, Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. I love the color green.
Freddy. How you feeling this morning, Fred?
I couldn't be feeling better. Thanks for asking. I feel fantastic. Why wouldn't I be? Why wouldn't everybody be after what happened last night?
Exactly.
You know,
I mean, could you have scripted it any better?
No, and I'm really happy, and it's one game. So we've got to be realistic here. It's one game, and you still got to win three more. But I'm really happy for Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah.
I'm really thrilled for Clayton Kershaw. I mean, his postseason struggles have been something we have talked about every postseason. And to pitch last night in that game, look as good as he did, really against, I think, an overmatched and somewhat frightened Tampa team. We'll take it. I like that Dave Roberts got him when he got him. Let's not fool around. And I thought it was a great start for the Dodgers. That's really who they are. And I think Tampa Bay was just shell-shocked. I thought, oh, my God. You could even see it in their eyes. They're on the big stage. I think the advantage of the Dodgers being there in the past certainly played in their favor last night, Rodney.
I'll agree with a lot of that. First off, with Clayton Kershaw, I was extremely happy for him. And when we, you know, were texting about, do you let him go back out? Do you let him, do you get him now? And
you know what I said? Go get him.
Go get him.
Now. And you went, no. Just wait. Yeah. I said, go. Yeah. You said, wait.
Yeah. They built up the lead. See how he's, I wanted him to start it and see, and then he got a 1-2-3 inning. And it was, okay, this is great for Clayton Kershaw, because after the rocky start, which he got out of that inning, because, you know, base hit, a walk, I mean, it could have got a crooked number real quick with that team, and it didn't. He was able to get out of the jam. And then, of course, you know, Cody hitting the home run to give him the cushion, I think that gave him made him feel a little bit more comfortable. But I thought it was a great outing for him. I thought he was focused. After the first inning, he was sharp. And it was a great start to a World Series, and he's the guy that started multiple World Series, and I'm glad we got the win. I wouldn't say that they were shell shocked, because they've been in some big games. Tampa Bay has been in some big series. You remember they play the Yankees on a regular basis, and they went toe to toe with the Yankees in five games, beat Garrett Cole in the fifth game. They had to go seven against Houston. So and kind of regroup after being up 3-0 and then giving up three wins to Houston and have to go to a game seven. So I wouldn't say that they're shell shocked. But I will say that they may have been a little surprised about the depth and the quality of the Dodger lineup, meaning that it is an assault on a pitcher, and the Dodgers have from top to bottom. I don't care if it's Mookie or Will Smith or Chris Taylor down at the bottom. I mean, it is an onslaught for a pitcher. You can't relax. You can't look at a batter or a hitter in the Dodger lineup and go, all right, I can get this guy out. It is a real true murderer's row when you face the Dodgers. And I think that they got a little taste of how good the Dodger lineup is.
Yeah, and it went as it was scripted and constructed for the Dodgers. They just grind you and grind you. We haven't seen that in a while. We haven't seen them face somebody for that long and then grind them and finally start to hit off them. So really, as it was scripted for the Dodgers and the way the Dodgers play, that's the way the game went last night. Yeah, they hung around, started to drive the pitch count up. Guy makes a mistake or two, boom, That's how the Dodgers play. Mookie Betts has just been a godsend for the franchise. And last night you saw it. I mean, he's aggressive defensively. He was aggressive at the plate. He stole. I think, really, from an emotional standpoint, if he's on, if he's playing well in the game, if he's making things happen, and he did last night, I can't see how the Dodgers get beat in this series.
Yeah, I mean, he is a, I can't remember back when a Dodger was that much of a threat on the bases. I mean, Cody can run, but he's not the threat and the savvy, you know, base runner that Mookie Betts is. Mookie gets on, he's going to find a way to score. And to be that type of player and lead off and be that unselfish, Fred, because he'll take a walk, he'll take a hit. It's not about just coming up, swinging for the fences and hit a home run. It's about, for him, getting on base, and then how can I get the second? How can I get the third? How can I score? And we saw that last night. And just, I think the overall attitude that he brings to the clubhouse and to that dugout, you can't put a price tag on that. And he's worth every single penny for the intangibles that he has brought to this Dodger team.
You know, talk about a guy that makes a difference on a franchise in this market. LeBron James obviously made a difference for the Lakers. I guess you could argue, although it didn't play out, Kawhi Leonard made a difference with the Clippers. But you tell me, maybe aside from LeBron in recent memory, who's had as much of an impact on a franchise as Mookie Betts?
Yeah, I can't think of it in recent memory. I mean, it all has to play out, right? And we have to go and close the deal. But from the moment he got here, he was as good as advertised. Now, people in Boston, you know, they saw it day in and day out. And we knew he was good from afar. But to see him play every day in a Dodger uniform and see the way he approaches the game, yeah, I can't think of anyone outside of LeBron, like he said, that it had a bigger impact in L.A. and L.A. sports in a while.
Cody Bellinger last night, another home run. It's good to see Cody woke up. I mean, during the regular season, he seemed like he was a bit of a slumber. It's nice to see he woke up, and it's good to see he woke up when he did in the playoffs. Yeah. And just the look on his face, the enthusiasm. I love that nobody wanted to touch him, give him a fist bump or a shoulder bump. So they did that little leg kick after he hit the
home
run.
Little
toe taps, because they didn't want anything to happen to him.
Shoulder's fine, though, right?
Yeah, well, he can certainly swing. That's for sure. I think it's a bit soon. I know Bill Plaschke said today, it's over. Let's plan the next event after we figure out what the Laker event will be. Let's plan the next event. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I mean, my meter is green, and I do believe that this is not going to take very long. But let's not count our chickens. I mean, they have to go out and they have to play. But boy, they looked confident last night. And Tampa Bay just seemed no match for them at all. I'm telling you, there's something, and you know this, you played. There's something to be said for guys who have been there before. There's something to be said for guys that understand what's going on. The Dodgers have been there before. They haven't closed the deal. This year they will. Tampa Bay has not been here before. And I think when you watch, you can see the difference.
Yeah, there's certainly that feeling of, you know, we've been here before. Now it's our turn to close the deal. And hopefully that will continue to play out, you know, for the Dodgers. But you think about it. You mentioned Cody Bellinger kind of waking up. Max Muncy has woken up too. And so when you look at, again, I mean, that lineup, we got Blake Snell going today for them. As you mentioned, they'll grind you, and you can't make a mistake. I mean, it is such a potent lineup and experience. I mean, even when the new guy, you know, you talk about Mookie Betts, he's been to the World Series and won it. So he has that experience as well as every single Dodger just about on this team. So that does play a big factor in your confidence going into it, not being, you know, afraid of the moment. But I think it will be a series. I'm not going to go out and say it's going to be a sweep or it's going to be in five or anything like that, because I think there's some fight in Tampa Bay. And I, you know, we saw that in the Yankee series. We saw that in Houston. So I'm not going to sit here and say, okay, it's a wrap already, because it's going to be a fight. But I do believe that the Dodgers have it fully in hand and will win this thing.
Okay. Later this hour, we're going to play Know Your Squad. So we'll give somebody a chance to play against Rodney and Ronnie today.
Come on.
David Vasse is going to join us here in about 8 minutes. But if you want to sneak a couple of calls in now, because we're here early, we're here for you, Dodger fans. This is why we came in early, and this is why we're on all day long, because everybody's talking about the Dodgers. 866-987-2570. Let's go Richard in L.A. Good morning, Richard. What's on your mind?
Morning, Fred, Rodney. Want to talk about Clayton. They finally pitched a good game, and the Dodgers finally gave him the run support he needed. And second of all, Mookie is the X factor in this Dodger team. You know, the Dodgers been there in the series the last couple of years, but they didn't have Mookie. And Mookie is the table setter. He sets the tone for the team, and he's pretty much the X factor for his lineup. And you've seen that yesterday. If the Dodgers keep working the pitching count and work the pitchers like they have, and you know, this series could be a sweep. And I honestly believe that because they do work the count, and they're a much better team now with Mookie in the lineup.
Yep. No question about that. Richard, thanks. Appreciate you getting up and listening early today. Let's go Manny in Bakersfield. Manny, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, fellas. And I just kind of wanted to echo a little bit of what the last guy said. I really just don't think that this Rays team even matches up closely to even the Braves from the last series. I think the Dodgers played their World Series, and it was called the NLCS. So that lineup was just littered with mashers. You know, Freeman, Swansby, you know, Riley. You just had them all up and down. Every time they hit, you were just afraid it was going to be a huge inning. I just don't see that from the Rays. They're a good team, a really good team, but I just don't see the comparison. The only way they can beat us is if they, you know, hold us to 2-3 hits, and I just don't think that's going to happen. I think this is finally our year.
Appreciate it, Manny. Yeah, look, I don't think many people would argue after what you saw last night, but it's one game. Just remember that. I mean, everybody's excited. Oh, no. Oh, fine.
Uh-oh, what?
Oh, go ahead, what? Joe. What?
hey, Fred.
What, Joe, what? Why is Fred saying, oh, no, when you called in, man?
I got a call from Harrison March where they want to know if Fred wants to continue his application on the Dodgers.
What are you talking about? Yeah, he's gone? We got rid of Joe? Oh, Joe, all right, go ahead. What?
You're all green now, Fred.
Yeah, I am.
The Dodgers get up. The Dodgers are up 8-0. Oh, it's all green. We're good. Please. Watch, Rodney.
Yeah.
Rodney?
Yeah.
Watch the Dodgers get down 2-0 tonight. Oh, we're in the red.
No, I don't think. Joe, I got to be honest. I don't think we're going to be in the red here. I think we're going to be just fine.
Fred, you do know you have a little bit of a track record of kind of being on a roller coaster a little bit with this red and green and orange stuff.
Well, Rodney, the point is, if you are a Dodger fan and you fall behind 3-1 in a series, you probably go, hey, we got a problem here. It's time to be
But
concerned.
You said that before they were down 3-1.
I put them in orange. I never put them directly into red. You go series by series.
Game by game, pitch by pitch with you.
Well, they're in green. And no matter what happens tonight, they'll be in green.
You even had the Lakers in orange.
Yeah, I did. Well, I was concerned. When you're concerned, you should express that. Goodbye, Joe.
Funny enough, Fred had the Clippers in green, and what happened to them?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and when I put the when I put the Dodgers in red, they won. But I put the Clippers in green, they lost.
Yeah.
And the Lakers never lost more than two games in a series. Well, and you had them in red.
I never had the Lakers in red. I had them in orange.
Yeah, you had them in orange. Okay, blood orange.
No, don't start quantifying the color scheme of what I had them in.
And they never lost two games in a series. Come on, Fred. Look, I believe what, you know, what they were saying, you know, the Dodgers lineup is so much, I think, better than Tampa Bay's lineup. Their strength, and we'll talk to David Vasse because he said this yesterday, that the strength of Tampa Bay is the pitching, in which, you know, they have the superior pitching. And we saw yesterday how the Dodgers grind and grind, and you got guys that are starting to get hot. I don't care how good a pitching staff you have. If you have to really worry about 1 through 9 putting some dents in your scoreboard, then it's a tough thing, because you have no batters off. And Glasnow found that out yesterday. You know, goes through the lineup. He had moments where he was lights out, but then to do that inning after inning after inning against this lineup, I think is just very difficult, especially with guys like Cody Bellinger getting hot, Max Muncy getting hot, Chris Taylor getting hot. I just don't see it. I don't see any pitcher holding down this lineup.
All right. Well, we'll find out what David Vasse thinks, because he is going to join us next from Arlington. On early today, we're here for you. We'll take your calls throughout the three-hour program. Bottom of the hour, we'll play Know Your Squad. And we're going to celebrate the Lakers in Know Your Squad. So we'll do that in about, I don't know,
yes,
12, 15 minutes. If you want to play, get ready to go. David is next.
3, 2, 1. Grab your phone, because now is your chance to win $1,000. Text the keyword SMILE to 200-200. You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. That's SMILE to 200-200.
Hey, they say ignorance is bliss, huh? I get is so blissful. Do anything for dollars. The thought of having a fistful. Make a switch.
Want to know? Want to know Wednesday? Rodney Pete, Fred, Rogan. No pistols. Coming back at you. Getting ready for game 2. We're here all day leading up. Dodgers, Tampa Bay.
Okay, Rodney. 10 minutes from now, let me know your squad. So if you want to give it a shot, call in, and a first caller in will get a crack at it.
Come on.
Let's go out to Arlington. Welcome in David Vasse. Dave, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Okay, well, you pretty much laid it out yesterday, and I guess it kind of went as scripted last night for the Dodgers. They grind you. If you're the opposing pitcher, come up with the big hits. Clayton Kershaw looked outstanding last night. Boom, game one in the books. How else can you say it?
Right, and my prediction before game one was Mookie Betts MVP of this World Series, and last night was a good opening act for him, becoming the first player in a World Series game to homer, steal 2 bases, and score 2 runs, and I guess deliver tacos to the entire country just for a good measure there. So they're going to need more of that from Mookie all series long, because he has had a lot of success off these Rays pitchers, including tonight's starter, Blake Snell. He has 9 hits against Snell in a very small sample size. So for me, Mookie makes everything go, and he certainly got things going in the right direction for the Dodgers last night.
Yeah, and Dave, you talked about, you know, the strength of Tampa Bay is their pitching, which I and everyone agrees with you on that one. But when you got to grind through a lineup like the Dodgers, and you've got guys like Cody Bellinger now getting hot again, and Max Muncy getting hot, it's got to be difficult on any pitcher. I don't care how good you are, because you don't have any hitters off.
Right, and for Glasnow, he was not commanding any of his pitches. That was a real problem for him. He was able to get Muncy to swing at a changeup a couple of times, but for overall, he was really relying on his fastball velocity to get his outs, and that's part of the reason why he walked 6 hitters last night and gave up 6 runs. He had no command of any of his pitches, and the Dodgers are going to make you pay for that. The first 4 guys saw upwards of 20 pitches each in the game last night. So it's going to be – this is the toughest matchup for the Rays as far as a lineup goes, because they're not swinging at just anything. They're very selective in what they swing at when they're going good. And right now, you know, you always hear about the hot team in October. You don't want to face the hot team. Well, the Rays are facing that hot team, in the Dodgers, who have now won four in a row after coming back 3-1 against the Braves.
It seemed to me, Dave, and I brought this up to Rodney, but it seemed to me watching it, the moment was a little big. It seemed to me that the Rays, being on that stage, a bit shell-shocked, a little bit. That's the impression I got.
100%. You know, I kind of feel like it was like the Braves after they were ahead 3-1. It felt like the Rays started to realize where they were in the World Series, and it kind of hit them. And it may have hit Glasnow on the mound last night. So I'm with you, Fred. Experience and poise by the Dodgers, two separate things, by the way. The Dodgers have had experience in the past, but this year's something different. The poise that they have, the focus that they have on the end goal is razor sharp. And I really believe a big reason why is because of Mookie Betts.
Yeah, you can't measure that, what he brings, the intangibles into the dugout, the how he works, how he approaches the game. I mean, he's unselfish. You know, he knows his role, as good as a player as he is. I mean, you see guys with his type of talent, you know, maybe not always want to, you know, lead off and be the guy that has to get on base any way you can, but he does. He takes walks. He'll. It's not, I'm trying to hit a home run every time. I'm trying to get on base so I can get the second, I can get the third, and I can score. And it feels like everybody's kind of bought into his mentality and approach. Not saying that they didn't have a good one before, but I think he's taking it to a different level, and people are feeding off of that.
Yeah, and don't mistake it, Rodney. He's the only champion on this team, along with Joe Kelly, who beat the Dodgers in 2018. They had that dog inside of them,
yeah,
where at all costs, they would push themselves physically and mentally to win that World Series. And Mookie and Joe Kelly in the bullpen have brought that to the Dodgers. But Mookie obviously has a greater impact because of an everyday player and being the leadoff hitter and all that. So they do have experience, but none of these guys have won. And Mookie is showing them and has showed them since spring training the mentality you have to win.
Dave, tell me an athlete. Okay, so put LeBron James in this category because he obviously made a huge difference for the Lakers. But tell me an athlete, aside from LeBron and Mookie, I guess if you want to say Kawhi, but he really didn't do anything yet. They didn't win. Aside from LeBron and Mookie, who has made the kind of impact they have made on their franchises when arriving? Because I can't think of anybody.
I guess you would have to go back to Kirk Gibson. The first year that he was here, he brought that type of mentality to the 88 Dodgers. I would say that's the closest analogy I could use for you, because when Shaq got here, they were trying to go from a 50-win team to a championship team, and it took some time. But as far as immediate impact, it would have to be in relation to winning a championship. It would have to be Kirk Gibson. And you know, if you want to talk about Magic Johnson as a rookie, he had the same type of impact in 1980 on the Lakers. So those would be the two that I could draw close comparisons to.
And, you know, Kevin just told me we had a caller off the air that suggested Wayne Gretzky, although he didn't win a cup with the Kings. But Wayne Gretzky,
he did not
really put hockey on the map here in Southern California.
But if you're talking about winning the championship in your first year, those are the two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because in that respect, you could say David Beckham did for soccer, too, here.
Right. You could go down the list of a lot
of guys. Go down the list, but they didn't win championships, as Dave said.
Yeah. LeBron won the championship in just his second year here, and Mookie is on the verge of winning a World Series championship in his first season with the Dodgers, similar to Kirk Gibson, who set the tone in spring training in a different way when the eye black was on his hat, and he let everybody know it's not fun in games. And also, Mookie Betts set the tone in spring training for the Dodgers by holding guys accountable, even on those drills in the backfield, to practice like it is the World Series back in spring training. So those two guys have a lot of similarities in their attitudes. They just do it a different way.
Hey, Dave, the game that Kershaw had, and talk about what that does for the Dodgers going forward. For him to get that kind of performance, to go that deep, for the pitching staff, for the bullpen, how much flexibility does Dave Roberts have now that he got that kind of game out of Kershaw and the rest of the staff?
Well, he told me the night before game one, that's what he was expecting, 6 innings from Kershaw. And if it was a closer game, he would have got 7 innings from Kershaw. But he cashed in when the Dodgers had that 8th spot on the board, and why not? You know, he held him at 78 pitches, and he'll have him on regular rest if this series goes 5 games, which I do believe it will. And don't you believe that it's meant to be that Clayton Kershaw will start game 5 in a possible clinch situation? That would just bring it all full circle for him and for the team.
Yeah, that would be magical. But Gonsolin goes tonight. We thought this might be a bullpen game. Is Gonsolin actually going tonight, or is it going to be a couple of innings and then we'll see other guys?
No, you'll see other guys. Gonsolin threw 41 pitches in 2 innings in game 7. So I fully expect to see him go probably maximum 15 hitters tonight. That's kind of what the projection was in game 7 of the NLCS. He just wasn't as efficient and sharp. They're hoping that he's more sharp tonight. And from there, maybe they'll be able to stay away from Julio, but I kind of feel like this is a Julio game where he'll be ready to come in. And from there, the Dodgers are hoping to bridge it to guys like Blake Treinen, Brustar Graterol, and then at the end, Kenley Jansen. Now, keep in mind, guys, I wanted to bring this point to you. If you remember 2017 in the World Series, the Dodgers were one strike away from going up 2-0 heading into Houston. Marwin Gonzalez hits a flat cutter from Kenley Jansen on an 0-2 pitch in the 9th inning. Changed the complexion of that game, changed the complexion of that series. Instead of going up 2-0, they were tied at 1 game apiece. And you could talk about all the sign-stealing you want, but that game, too, was a series changer. So tonight is very important for the Dodgers to win, because all of a sudden, if you lose this, you're tied 1-1, and you're staring at Charlie Morton in the face tomorrow. Even though Walker Buehler's on the mound, Charlie Morton is a really good pitcher that you're going to have a tough time scoring runs against. So tonight, I really believe, is the biggest game of the series.
All right. Dave, thanks for coming on early. We appreciate it.
Oh, okay. Today. Sorry, Fred. Did not make an impact on you, huh?
Well, it did. I mean, how am I going to top that? Well,
I don't know.
What's the response to that?
Acknowledgement of that was so deep, Dave.
Well, no, I don't know if it was that deep, but I thought it was a valid point.
I'm with you, Dave. Right on. Spot on.
Rodney, come on, Rodney. Help me out.
I know.
It's early for Fred. He's coming off the 11 o'clock news. He's still.
Dave, because you said that, he got him shell-shocked. He's thinking about a tough night. You know, if they don't win game 2, he might go to the red again instead of staying in green.
Oh, my gosh.
No, Dave.
I'll be ready for that tomorrow if this happens. But right. I'm hoping the Dodgers are able to win tonight, because if they don't, this is a real series.
Yeah. Yep. The Dodgers are in green. And by the way, Dave, this is not the first thing I did today. I did the morning news, too. So I've been up for a while, Dave.
Oh.
Wow. That's impressive, Fred.
Whoa. Thank you, Dave. You know what? Because my work is never done. I'll tell you that right now.
See, I acknowledged your work, Fred. That's all I want, some acknowledgement from you. Dave, I have dad issues. I'm looking for an older white man to give me some acknowledgement.
I don't think I'm old enough to be your father.
Oh, my God.
All right, Dave, goodbye.
See you guys.
All right. Last night, the Dodgers took game 1, and tonight, first pitch is 5 p.m. You can catch it all right here on Dodger Baseball. That's where your home is, AM 570 LA Sports. Stream the games for free on the iHeartRadio app. Search AM 570 LA Sports.
Rogan and Rodney Roulette. Know your squad.
All right, Mario on the 10 freeway. How are you today?
Always good, Fred. Always good. Always very upbeat, sir.
We'd like to hear that. Now,
I love it.
You know how to play Know Your Squad?
I better know how to play Know Your Squad. I see you guys every day.
Right. Now, here's the deal. I'm going to give you 5 choices. Don't answer until I've given you all 5 choices, because if you jump in too soon, you know what happens, right?
Yes, sir.
You get locked
out. Don't get locked out. Don't get locked out.
We don't want you locked out. Okay, Ronnie, you want to play?
Let's go, Fred. Nice haircut, by the way.
Now, are you saying that sarcastically?
maybe. Just a little bit. You don't like
this? Oh, he's right. It's nice and tight, Fred. It's good.
Yeah,
looks
it is
good,
tight, Fred.
I saw it on the news last night. I go, oh, Fred got a new haircut.
Did you get it before because you got the you had to do the morning news today?
No, I got it because every time the Dodgers are in the World Series and have a chance to win after 32 years, I like to get my hair changed a little bit. So I just did it because...
Wait, say that again.
Okay, when the Dodgers are in the World Series, it's one thing. If they have a chance to win, which they do this year, I'd like to tweak a little bit. So 32 years ago, I got to tweak a little bit. And now I got
You didn't get it tweaked in 2017 or 2018? You didn't get it tweaked then because you were a non-believer? What's the story?
No, I didn't do it as soon as I did this time. I got it tweaked.
Wow, that's terrible. You got it tweaked after game one.
Yeah.
And you didn't get it tweaked after game one in 2017 because they won game one against Houston.
No, there's another reason I didn't get it tweaked after game one. The person that normally does my hair was not out of town. But the person that normally does my hair was out of town this time.
Just get a Flobee, Fred.
I'm not using a Flobee, Ronnie.
What do you say, bunny? You want to borrow mine?
No, I don't want to look like you. Okay. Here we go. LeBron James and Anthony Davis were the leading scorers for the Lakers in the NBA Finals. Who was the Lakers' third leading scorer in that series? Rajon Rondo, Markieff Morris, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Kyle Kuzma, or Kyle Chandler?
KCP.
KCP.
KCP is Ronnie. Ronnie, my machine is
Ronnie.
We'll push the right button.
I didn't even hear
Fred.
Ronnie.
What? I'm pushing the right button. Ronnie said
it's not working, Fred.
Yeah. That...
Unplug it and plug it back in.
All right, Ronnie, you got that one.
Thank you.
How did Ronnie get that one?
How did Ronnie get that one? Ronnie said it first. How else did Ronnie get that one?
I don't know. I didn't hear Ronnie.
Okay. Mario, were you there?
I'm right here.
Okay. Oh,
man, these guys are quick. These guys are quick draw.
All right.
Man, I was pretty about to get my gun out. These guys already shot me.
No, it's all right. Let's not take it to that level.
Switch to decaf, Mario.
Let's go to the next one. Wait a minute. Ronnie, it's still not working. There it is.
There it is.
Okay, well, you turned it up.
Fred.
It was already up. We're not trying to sabotage you, Fred.
Did the new haircut do something to your brain, Fred?
I think one of the little hairs fell in between the little keys there in the machine.
Oh, that had to be it.
Yeah, that's
I'm sure
it,
that's exactly
yeah,
what
Yeah, let's
that.
Go. Come on.
Okay. Kobe Bryant led the Lakers in assists during their five-game NBA Finals series win over Philadelphia in 2001. Which of these players was second on the team in assists in that series? Shaq, Derek Fisher, Ty Lue, Ron Harper, or Ron Paul?
Derek Fisher.
Ty Lue.
Ty Lue.
No good.
Ron Harper.
How about new?
How about was Derek Fisher?
It is no good.
Shaq.
No. Ron Lue.
Shaq.
Who got it?
You.
Wow, just check it. Make sure you being honest.
Well, you're the only one to say it, so that's how you got it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, wasn't much controversy there. Which of these players is the Lakers franchise leader in total career rebounds? Kareem, Elgin Baylor, Shaquille O'Neal, Vern Mickelson, or Vern Troyer?
Elgin Baylor.
Elgin Baylor. And it is Ronnie.
No!
It is Ronnie. Oh.
By like a half second, Rodney.
You know, I'll tell you who's pretty upset about that. Mario. Mario's upset. Mario, didn't you think you got that one?
Yeah, I know I got that one. Bang, bang, bang.
Right. Well, you were,
bang, it was bang, like Mookie Best.
Yeah, you were the last bang. Sorry. We had the triple bang, and you were the last bang.
No, you were shooting blanks.
Oh, hey now.
Hey, not Mario.
Yeah.
Hey, with four kids, I better be shooting blank.
You and me both, Mario.
Yes, sir.
Prior to Frank Vogel, who was the last Laker head coach to lead the Lakers to a playoff victory? Was it Mike D'Antoni, Phil Jackson, Mike Brown, Rudy Tomjanovich, or Rudy Ray Moore?
Rudy T.
Mike D'Antoni.
Mike D'Antoni.
No, senor!
Rudy T.
Rudy T.
No good!
Mike Brown.
Mike Brown. Rodney. Rodney got it.
Okay. Yeah, I got it. So here's, dang right, I got it.
Here's where we're at. Rodney and Ronnie are tied.
Mario?
I don't know what Mario's doing.
Mario!
I'm bringing in the rear.
Uh-oh. Don't say it, Fred.
It's too early.
Yep. Not going to say a thing. Lakers drafted Luke Walton in the second round of the NBA draft in 2003. Which of these players was the Lakers' first-round pick that year? Well, there you go. Kareem Rush, Jordan Farmar, Brian Cook, Sasha Vujacic, or Sasha Banks?
Kareem Rush.
Sasha
Vujacic.
Jordan Farmar.
No, señor!
What else you say?
I forgot the other guy, Fred.
Kareem Rush, Jordan Farmar, Sasha Vujacic.
Sasha.
No good!
I said Sasha already, Rodney.
Sasha Banks.
And it is no good.
Or Brian Cook.
Brian Cook. Ronnie.
I got a delay on my shot.
You had no delay.
I did.
You know,
and Mario got a delay.
You and Mario do not have a delay. No, Mario, no, you don't.
I have a 2-second delay.
Mario, yep. You do not have a 2-second delay. Mario. Last one.
Where's my Altuve buzzer? I need my Altuve buzzer.
All right, Mario, listen. This is the last one. So here it is. Rodney, you get it. You'll tie Ronnie. Mario, you get it. You give Ronnie the win. Ronnie, you get it. You get the win. So good luck to all. Of the men who coached
Clearing that up, Fred.
Pardon me?
Yes.
Okay. Of the men who coached the Lakers for at least 3 years, which of these men has the highest playoff winning percentage in franchise history? Is it Phil Jackson, Paul Westhead, recent guest on the show, Bill Sharman, Pat Riley, or Pat O'Brien?
Pat Riley.
Paul Westhead. Phil Jackson.
Who said Pat Riley?
I did.
Ronnie wins. Wow, that's pretty much a beatdown today. Ronnie, nice job.
Oh, thank you, Fred.
There you go, Ronnie. Good when you have the answers.
Nice job, Rob.
All right, Mario. Well, listen, we appreciate you jumping on early today. That was really kind of you. You know, we're here for the people. We're here for you, Mario, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks, guys. I listen to you guys every day. Thanks a lot.
Love it.
Appreciate
thank
it,
you.
Mario.
Okay, baseball made a few changes for the pandemic-shortened season. What do you think? Should we keep them all? Let's talk about it next.
And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah!
Afternoon Delight.
It's the R-A-P-S-O-D-R-Y. History say don't repeat her. Many years a slave took notes from Lupita. You should marvel at the fighting. Feel like Anita. Apologize. You denied my people. Made our death legal. We all paralegal. Gotta defend ourselves when the laws ain't equal. Cops ain't legal.
Today. Afternoon Delight.
Raised by Mother Nature in the project's tenement walls. Sudden withdrawals. A true rebel. It's easy to spot the government flaws. Mass confusion. People in power
can't
collusion.
Put it in the hands of fate.
I'm the leader of the movement. Take lifetimes. Trying to duck the
CV1
pipeline. Disenfranchised. Amazing I'm in my right mind. Create change.
This is one of two tracks that the music legend released last week through his new What the Fuss music label. When the freedom that we but have speaking about the song, he said it was originally about a relationship, but then he updated the lyrics after thinking about where we are in the world and thinking about how this is the most crucial time. Change is right now. You can't put it into the hands of fate. Ain't nobody got time to wait, he said. You can't put it in the hands of fate finding a cure for this dreadful virus. We got to get to our knees, pray, or whatever you do. Again, today's Afternoon Delight is Can't Put It in the Hands of Fate by Stevie Wonder featuring Rhapsody, Chica, Corday, Busta Rhymes, the legend Stevie Wonder.
Well, hopefully this year it is fate for the Dodgers to win this World Series. First time in 32 years. You know, Sherwin's been on hold, and since we're in early today, let's let people talk, Rodney. We'll just drop them in when they call. Sherwin and Brentwood, thank you for holding. Go ahead.
You are very welcome. Thank you. Good morning, guys. I wish I had been on before Vasse, because actually I made the call before Vasse came on, I'd love to be locked up in a room and throw the key away with just Vasse and myself. Here's the reason. In 9 days, I'll be 81 years old. I've seen a hell of a lot and so forth. Let me throw the name Mike Trout and Ken Griffey Jr. at you for 5 tool players. Let me also throw this out at you. I tweeted this out early this morning. Can you imagine this scenario? A 10-year-old boy who loves baseball, who's not particularly affiliated with either the Dodgers or the Rays, is watching the game with his father. And he comes and he sees Mookie Betts steal a base. And he says to his dad, what is that? What happened there? And so forth. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, do I ever love this. In the days of Ricky Henderson, Lou Rock, Ozzie Smith, yeah, and all the rest of them.
Yeah.
God bless them all. I think it's great. And that's something I wish the game had more of.
Sherwin, thanks for the call. Yeah, stealing bases is a lost art because the way they play the game today, you know, you get on and you pound it out of the park. But last night, Mookie played it old school, and it really was impressive watching him get things started. It's fun to watch. It's a lost art. And you know what else is a lost art? Bunting. Bunting is a lost art. But it's when you bunt and you move a guy around and then somebody steals, you're in scoring position. So I get what he's saying, Rodney.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't see that much anymore. Yeah, he's mentioned bunting, stealing. You know, how much do we talk about batting average anymore? It's you know, OPS. It's not triple crown winners. It's not things like that. Going the other way with the ball, you know, when runners in scoring position, playing station to station baseball is pretty much a lost art. Are we ever going to see a 40-40 guy again, Fred? Or even a 30-30 guy again?
You know,
and that was like the coveted thing, right? When, you know, back in Ricky Henderson and those guys were stealing bases, it was 30-30. Barry Bonds, 30-30 club, 40-40 club. That nobody even talks about that anymore.
All right, by next hour, we're going to have Kevin Kennedy on the show. You know, the skipper always has stuff to say. He'll break it down. I mean, he uses a very sharp knife, and he'll slice it up for you and tell you what he thinks and what I believe he'll say is why the Dodgers are going to win the series. But some of the changes they made during the pandemic, Rodney, in baseball include starting a runner on second base in extra innings, things like that, expanded playoffs. You know what Rob Manfred said? I like it. When we start playing again next year, why don't we keep it? Why go back to where we were? What do you think?
I like the runner at second base in extra innings. I do like that. I think it just... I don't even know if it speeds up the game, but it feels more intense. It feels like it's more immediate when you have a runner already in scoring position. So I like that aspect of it. I don't like the playoff format. I really don't. I really don't like, you know, the team, a best of three series. I mean, what's the sense of grinding 162 games, winning your division, and you could be out in two games? I just don't like that format. I think it should be at least five to start with. So if they're going to expand it, then maybe add the five. But I do not like the three-game series.
He did acknowledge that moving forward, they would not do 16 teams. They might do 14, which will likely tell you the top seeds in each conference or each league would likely get some sort of bye. They only did that to get more TV. He didn't say this explicitly, but obviously they did that to get more TV revenue with the extra series.
Yeah, and I don't mind that. I don't mind 14 if the top team in each division gets a bye. Then it works for me. I like it. I don't know. You can argue this back and forth. And, you know, we've had people on that have said, you play 162 games, we don't open this up to everybody to make the playoffs. But if you give the top team in each division a bye, I think it's more exciting this way. If you're able to get in and try to make a little run at the thing. This year, as it played out, doesn't happen always. The two best teams ended up in the World Series. Doesn't always happen that way, but it did.
No, it doesn't. But you're right. If you're not going to if you're not going to reward a team for having the best record in baseball or winning their division, I mean, what's the sense of, what's the motivation for really trying to do that or grinding it out? If you have the same chance in the playoffs as a team that won 30 more games than you, it just doesn't make sense. So it has to be something like that where there is a bye for the teams and you get rewarded for winning your division or having the best record.